A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com. Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Welcome to Get the Table, another Wrestling Roundtable discussion podcast with myself, Adam Wilborn, and one of the Dudley Boys, Michael Sidgwick from What Culture, here to discuss another burning wrestling issue. But before we get into it, if you're a fan of this sort of thing, make sure you subscribe to What Culture Wrestling on either iTunes, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts from, for daily wrestling podcasts where we review Raw, SmackDown, AEW, Dynamite, NXT pay-per-views. We have interviews, roundtable discussions, and a roundup of the week, complete with a bloody good quiz, of course, on wrestle culture. As I said, though, joined by Michael Sidgwick, and sir, we are gathered here. Oh no, we are socially distanced for now to talk about AEW Blood and Guts. It is what, a week and a half away. More developments, of course, on Dynamite this week, and the revelation coming out that this is going to be a one match show. Michael Sidgwick, your initial reaction to that news?
I was kind of mystified. I'm sorry, Wilbur, I'm probably going to walk all of your format here by answering the second question in addition to the first. But I was mystified, but I wasn't worried. I was not worried.
Yeah.
AEW does have form in... This is like a glorified pay-per-view on television. Be under no illusion that it isn't. And if you try and preview it as like a pseudo pay-per-view, AEW does have form in certain pay-per-view matches going long unnecessarily historically, but we're talking like 3 minutes in the case of some of the flabbier undercard fare at All Out and All Out 2020 and Revolution 2021, for example. But more often than not, they make best use of that time. They can lay out the matches perfectly to maximize what it is to be a long match. And I just think if you look at all of the different threads, the traditional War Games match in itself, which they are going to do very faithfully by all accounts, this is a match that has to go very long. It's not going 2 hours, but we'll get to that.
Yeah, exactly. Just to clarify here, the update that we got from Meltzer on Wrestling Observer Radio said basically it's going to be sort of a few pre-taped segments. And then, yeah, like you say, the five-on-five match, people being added after a certain time period. So it is, even if you want to do it as quickly as possible, there's a minimum time for this anyway. You've got to factor in ad breaks and stuff like that too. So it's not going to be, like you say, 2 hours of War Games. To talk next. You said there, you know, we're not too concerned. But could this be a bit of a mistake, like you say, with the reputation that AEW has on occasion being, you know, indulgent? This might be the nicest way of putting it.
No, I get what you're saying as well. Like, there's just, I don't know if they're just trying to meet an expectation that's been set. The currency of critical acclaim in modern pro wrestling means like loads and loads and loads, which is why I think Ghetto continues over in New Japan to just impose these goddamn 35, 40 minute main events that, for me personally, they've gone the way of NXT. You couldn't get a Sidgwick podcast without burying NXT. I'm sorry, it's just in my nature at this point. NXT's kind of swallowed itself whole with these 35, 40 minute matches, but the exact same thing is happening in New Japan, where I understand why people still love them. They are still, at least in New Japan, like, at their best, phenomenal, these 35-minute, 30 to 40-minute absolute epics. But I've just seen them so often, and there's just nothing really new under the sun. You've got a real sense, when you watch those main events, of like when certain things are going to happen, when the pace is going to increase, when they're going to bring it back down again, when it's going to erupt in this crescendo, what the kind of action you're going to get in said crescendo with like the reversals and stuff. But the reason why they do that and why NXT does that, and to a lesser extent AEW does that, is because critical acclaim matters most. We are living in an era where there's a man main eventing with a world title on TNT, calling himself the 7-star athlete, because the currency that comes with being a critically acclaimed pro wrestler in an industry driven through it, all in the elite, it's all based on just how adored they were by hardcore fans. And the big test for AEW was with if that could sort of realize itself in like genuine cable viewership. So you're going to get a long match, but here's the thing. MJF and Sammy Guevara, in the heat of all of this battle, with bodies lying everywhere, having absorbed enough sustained damage to justify Guevara and MJF, they could have like a 4-minute match within a match. Mm-hmm. Realistically, that's just off the top of my head. But what I'm getting at is that MJF and Guevara, there's a layer there. MJF and Chris Jericho, there's a layer there. Wardlow and Hager, that's a long history there. There's FTR and Santana and Ortiz, who I expect to be the total workhorses of this match, just threading everything together. I expect Sammy Guevara to be the very first man in the ring and for it to be an incredible career breakthrough performance for him, because a lot of criticism got levied at AEW for how little screen time he's enjoyed, considering he's one of the breakthrough acts. He had the first match on Revolution, on AEW Dynamite at Double or Nothing. He's such a key part. He did loads of tag team main events before and after Full Gear as part of the Inner Circle. I think they've kind of said, right, okay, well, don't have to do anything with him this week, because I think Blood and Guts, he's going to be in there for like an hour and 10 or something close to it. I generally think they are, basically what I'm getting at here in a scattered markish way is that I've just reeled off five different confrontations you're going to see in this match. There are five interesting confrontations. This is all not including various high spots and stunts. These are just character interactions. Like, there's more than enough story to justify the length of this goddamn match. And here's the thing. It's not going to go, right, okay, welcome to Dynamite. We go down at the Dapper Yapper, Justin Roberts, and it's going to be an hour and 40 minutes of a match. Like, they are going to do loads of pomp and ceremony. But before we get to what they're actually going to do with the time, you asked me if it's going to be a mistake.
Mm-hmm.
In some ways, right, I thought all along, and I realized that just from a logistical point of view, it might not be possible to do this. But I thought the whole point was, because I would buy Blood and Guts on pay-per-view. I genuinely would.
Oh, yeah.
I thought the whole point of doing it on TV from a strategic point of view was to do the biggest show possible on TV, or one of the biggest shows possible on TV. It feels even bigger than Winter Is Coming, or at least as big, just because of the lore surrounding this match and how much AEW loves Jim Crockett all across the management and some of the roster of which they're going to be in this match. I thought the whole point was, right, we're going to give you an absolutely epic, big-time, bloody, spectacular, iconic main event, right? While you're here, look what we've got underneath. You can't do Blood and Guts every week, but here's a taste of what you're going to get. I just can't really see the wisdom, and I will be proven wrong because I've doubted this company too many times, even myself, but I can't yet see the wisdom in not putting at least one trios banger, at least one sort of sample of like the in-house style. And it's probably accurate to say that what they do in the trios matches at this point, because there's been so bloody many great ones in 2021, qualifies as the in-house style. This is not just me saying I'm a Phoenix, Mark, and I want to see him dance around double sets of ropes because it'll be absolutely stunning. Like, a lot of people will have this opinion, and the idea is that if a lot of people watching it have this opinion, and this is acting essentially as an advert for Dynamite, why wouldn't you put Phoenix on the show?
Yeah.
Just as an example. It's like, right, okay, you're not going to get Blood and Guts every week, but then stick around because you're going to get this. I just don't see the wisdom in that. So that's just a bit strange for me. I thought this was going to be like an advert, but in fact, it's all about the match. Mm. All about the match. And we'll see, it's not how I would have done it personally, but I'm not getting paid $174 million over however many years to do this, so.
Yeah, honestly, it wouldn't really put my nose that much out of joint if the first hour of Dynamite was just video packages highlighting what's to come, like you say, with all the history of War Games and Jim Crockett, et cetera, et cetera. And there's a thing that flashes up that just says on screen, call your friends. They need to know that it's happening, that sort of thing. Sort of in relation to that, before we get on to what may happen with next week's parlay and with the match itself in a week and a half's time. But very quickly, your reaction, it's not very often you and I are happy to be wrong, but your reaction to the rating that Dynamite got this week, we anticipated a drop. I think we were far more concerned, or not even concerned, we were overestimating the drop. You know, 1.2 last week with all the excuses of, oh, well, it's the first week unopposed and NXT fans maybe just tuned in and or just forgot that NXT had moved nights and Mike Tyson and what have you. It was a 1.1, 0.37 in the demo. Pleasant surprise, I thought that earlier on this week.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm on record in audio form saying I think it's going to drop a 950. It absolutely didn't do that at all. And it not only did it not do that, but John Moxley didn't wrestle. Chris Jericho didn't wrestle. Kenny Omega didn't wrestle. The Young Bucks didn't wrestle. A lot of their key guys. I mean, Darby Allin is a key guy at this point, and he did wrestle in a main event, no less, for the title. But they went out then, they didn't spaff things against the wall because they don't. I'm just really glad that that's the philosophy of the show, because if you spaffed everything against the wall, something like Blood and Guts wouldn't have the same heft as it's got, because they would have done something like that already. They stayed true to what they do. They booked a show light on established drawing power, and they still drew a hell of an impressive number. And I seriously think it's a good omen for the future of the show unopposed, because I can't quite recall the second week drop from the actual premiere. I vividly remember, happy to be proven wrong, I probably should have researched this, but I vividly remember thinking it was steeper than this.
Oh yeah, absolutely. I'll have this, I'll have a Google watch.
It'll be October 9, 2019, because the launch, the debut was October 2. But if I'm right in thinking it was steeper, then this is really good news, because this in effect was a second premiere. This was a premiere for the people who watched NXT and decided, hang on, am I going to watch this show now? Am I going to watch this show now? And there was a what? In overall, there was like a 100,000 drop-off? What was it last?
This one just gone. It was about 100,000, give or take. The second week of Dynamite, basically 400,000.
Yeah.
So there's your answer, really, in terms of like, oh, I'll dip my toes in and never come back, compared to 100,000, which is, yeah, more than acceptable and intriguing to see. You know, I'm going to get carried away in a week's time and say, oh, do you think Dynamite's going to hit a 2 or something like that? Calm that down a little bit. But yeah, if they're only dropping, you know, 100,000 for a show that, you know, this card was stacked, but like I say, didn't have the established, you know, the names we'd associate with drawing an audience. So intrigued. I mean, like, they're going to go all out on this, and like you say, Chris Jericho and the you know, they can't use War Games, but you know, the knowledge of War Games that people have, I have no idea what to expect in a week and a bit's time.
No, but no, it's going to be. I think Dave Meltzer pointed out it's Cinco de Mayo.
Yeah,
so it's a big party day for the Yanks, which might impact things. They've always struggled at Thanksgiving and Halloween. I think they struggle, but they didn't really put on major cards, possibly in anticipation of it struggling. This is a completely different strategic approach. So we'll see. We'll see. I expect this to draw an absolute monster of a number, this Blood and Guts. I really do.
Before we get into you booking the match itself, parlay next week, Pinnacle in a circle. How do you see that one sort of playing out?
In a brawl. In a brawl. And it's going to be a great one. It's the one. It's just, it's one of those things where knob heads go, predictable, not a fight. Not a fight, because they want you to want to see more of a fight.
That's, I wish they could go back to the Attitude Era, which never ended on a go-home show with a fight, saying, well, how's this going to play out on Sunday? So,
and it's just how they do it, realistically. They've got such stunning form in brawls. It's an art to the brawl. And it would be nice if they could kind of rediscover that. It's going to be hard given the way they're blocking this. Like, everyone's going to be in the ring, so it's going to be like a hailstorm of fists sort of thing. But maybe they'll do something more creative. And they often do. They often do something more creative. But if I'm MJF and or Chris Jericho. Like, I possibly would try and do the veneer of like, go to parlay, save, like a nice little meta knowing sort of recognition of the fact that let's not have a fight yet. Like, we are professional wrestlers. We know this business. We know where the money isn't in having the fight now. Something like that to excuse why there's something approaching an invisible wall. Mm-hmm. I would like some kind of explanation as to why they're not just immediately having a fight when they've just been killing each other for the last however many weeks. I'd like either MJF or Chris Jericho to say something like, look, we're professionals. We've got a fight to promote. We know the money is in keeping that fight. And they're obviously going to have a fight at the end of it. I'm not an idiot. I don't know how else they could sell this fight because I'm already completely on the hook. MJF has cut two of the best promos of the 21st century on television. And that might, if you look at WWE over the 20 years they've monopolized it, it's probably not high praise, but it is intended to be. Like, his promo game's been absolutely brilliant. Chris Jericho's has been uneven. And if they've latched onto that when he did an amazing promo, if he did a very uneven one last week, what could MJF do? That's the glory of the MJF character. Is that you will go to those places and you will win. Like, genuinely, this phrase has been bastardized, right? But can he say that? Mm. There is an element of that to MJF because I always find it fascinating, right? Just the dichotomy between what's said on screen to what they like text each other saying, oh, can I say this about you? And it's like, can I say this one thing you're probably really insecure about? And like, how do you, I get really fascinated by how those conversations must actually unfold in real life. But what I'm getting at is that MJF is the guy who has to uphold his character. You would think less of him if he wasn't the worst person alive, if that makes any sense whatsoever. So he's going to have to bury this nursery rhyme. Like, he's going to have to say, you're a childish dipshit. You're embarrassed, all this kind of stuff. And Chris Jericho with the idea being that, Maxwell, I'm not going to want the rating next week. I'm the demo god, you're the reigns ruler. We both know what this is about. So just to have the MJF use the ammo of last week's, I don't want to say it was a disaster, but it wasn't particularly good. Mm-hmm. If MJF can use that against Jericho, Chris Jericho will finally crumble. And then someone like Santana just says, yes, I'm not part of your peacock battle here. I just want to leather you in the face. That's how they can create the brawl scenario that is inevitable.
Loved seeing all the excitement around Santana after that promo this week. And I anticipate a bare minimum of MJF saying something about like, well, you know, next Wednesday, blood is going to be spilled. And Chris, you've got more than enough guts to go around for everyone.
Oh, fantastic. That's fantastic, Pat.
Have that one for free, Max.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to 1 full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full, important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Moving on then, looking forward to actual AEW Blood and Guts. I mean, you're not going to have to book it piece by piece unless you want to. What needs to happen for you? I think, you know, we all know the end result that I think both, well, everyone will probably agree on in terms of who is victorious, but you talked about the interactions that you want to see. What else do you want to see at Blood and Guts?
I'll just reiterate again. Sammy Guevara hasn't really resonated as a babyface in the same way he got over as a heel. Like, it's kind of, again, that's a byproduct of, yeah, it's easy enough to keep track because we're not idiots of what's happening in these sort of loaded dynamites of 2021. But at the same time, like, not enough's getting over. Sammy Guevara, it was more over as a heel then than he is as a babyface now. And part of the problem is that he doesn't have the TV time to get over as much as he did then.
Mm-hmm.
This is a guy, and I used to say in articles, he used to maximize his seconds, much less minutes, that JR used to like encourage everyone to do. And the fact that he doesn't really have time to do that anymore is a bit of an indictment of how bloated these shows are. But as I said, I think a lot of this is in service of him entering the babyface breakthrough performance of his career. If you look at the various players involved in this, like Wardlow and Hager, they're not going in first. The idea, and it's going to be awesome when Jake Hager gets a goddamn pop, by the way, because honestly, I think as a henchman, as someone who can really unleash like a low-key boy popper, like he probably deserves like a bit more of a pat on the goddamn back. He's provided me personally a lot of entertainment value. He's got a rep here as this boring guy. He wasn't Kurt Angle, and he's never looked like he's developed his game since WWE, but he plays a part, and he plays that part really well. He's not starting the match. They're clever enough not to start him in the match. Guevara and one of FTR start.
Yeah.
They are not idiots in AEW, unlike whoever booked the Women's War Games match last year. The heels are going to get the advantage, right? And if they're going full traditional, and it looks like they are, because unless there's I don't want to say last minute addition, because that sounds like it's booked on the fly when it absolutely isn't, but they tend to delay the announcement of the sixth match nowadays is one last. Oh, you get this as well. So just make sure you want to watch it in addition to everything else. Unless they do some kind of fight for the advantage, which they did before the last Blood and Guts was cancelled, they'll do a coin toss. Basically, I'll put Guevara and Dax in there first, or Cash. So I'd like to see Cash do more single stuff, just incidentally, in the same way that Dax does, because he's just equally awesome. Guevara, Cash, Dax comes in. And then you get one of Santana and Ortiz. What you want to do is go through your younger workhorses to carry that early load. And then you get interchangeable, either the star power of MJF and Chris Jericho, or I think I'd put them in first. Not first, but like at the midway point. Mm-hmm. And then I would have your 1-2 punch of Hager and Wardlow coming in at the end. Like when all the bodies are down. And then you've just got Hager coming out to confront Wardlow, who's the last one standing up. Like, here's the thing about this match. It's bringing it back to the earlier point. I, being a nerd, have just laid out this match in terms of the format, the entry that everybody else, that everybody enters the ring. Like, there's loads of other ideas. There's loads of other ways they could do this. Not the fucking heels going in first without the advantage, but there's loads of other ways they can do this. They'll have their own ideas of which interactions they want to happen when. Like, there is so much meat on the story. Like, there is, like, that's personally what I want to see, but ultimately, don't get annoyed or anxious about the idea. One match show, they're not doing a 2 hours Blood and Gut match. They are going to put over the thing. They're going to do the lowering of the cage. They're going to do their own version of the music. They're going to, I think, create some kind of sport and vibe where you get pre-match interviews from both camps. You might even get some live interviews with talking heads.
Yeah.
Like really selling it UFC style or MMA style is this thing that like wizened minds of the wrestling business. Like Arn Anderson might even have a say, like to bring it back to the, like a nice tribute to the old war games of like what you can expect. And Arn Anderson's words carry such weight and gravity that if you hear from him on the show itself. It'll just build and build the anticipation while you're still like waiting for it. There's a million things they can do with this 2-hour show, and that's kind of what I want to see. I want to see a sport and vibe. I want to see the breakthrough babyface performance of Sammy Guevara's career. I want to see Dax and Cash be the engines, just the engines buzzing around those two rings in an awesome performance. The Chris Jericho MJF confrontation, when it actually happens, because they had the chess match at Full Gear, but this is going to be the fight, and that's going to be awesome. If you think of how many months have informed that particular program, that's going to be great. You can get a hoss fight on top of the Southern style tag, on top of the babyface performance. Like, it's going to be absolutely tits. And in answer to your question, Will Bourne, I want to see all of what I've just said.
Couple of questions for you. Number one, is there going to be a roof on this?
Yes. Okay.
There is. Yeah,
there is going to be a roof on this cage. They are going full faithful with it. I think the idea is they're not just cosplaying because they want to do it because they like JCP. Like, they obviously are thinking of the story first. And I just think if you look at the players involved and how much actual story is packed into it, like, I don't want to diss the NXT War Games just to make the comparison, but I kind of have to. And I'll put it over as well. What's tended to happen is that month of, well, this is decent storylines happened, and then William Regal drives War Games in 2017, because they'd never done one, he didn't expect it, but then it kind of retrospectively made sense when they announced it. But it wasn't some like proper blood feud saga, months in the making, worthy of the blow off. It was just Jesus Christ getting a War Games match. That's awesome. I loved the first War Games match, by the way. The second one was just a gang of baby faces against the Undisputed Era. That was good. The third one was wretched in terms of the build, because they were like, they were feuding with each other and they were having a feud with Raw and SmackDown at the same time. But oh, look, Tommaso Ciampa's still looking at the title. Like, rubbish, absolutely rubbish. And the Pat McAfee one was splendid. But what I'm saying is, this has got so much more story behind it and like actual blood feud stuff. They've made each other bleed in the build. Like, they've very much gone on the nose with blood and guts. They don't need, in my opinion, to remove that roof just to facilitate a high spot for the sake of doing it. Mm. It made for a great modern update. Like, I loved the first one. I can't tell you how much I loved the first NXT War Games, but increasingly the lack of a roof has just enabled tropes more than high spots. They're the same thing, but it felt like a high spot in the first match. And increasingly it feels like tropes is something to do. I don't think they want to get cute with it. As much as I'd love to see Sammy Guevara do a 450 off the top of a roof, I think they are aiming not for high spots, but for tone.
Mm.
Tone and tradition, and the idea being that if they do a lot of climbing, like, there's no escape. They want to put over the idea that there is no escape, and they want to visually convey that with the old school structure as well.
Yeah, I suppose if you want to, you could maybe have people brawl on top. But I don't think it would be necessary in this match. The other question I was going to ask is...
Cannot escape.
The question I was going to ask
is... A cage, Will Bourne. What can you... It's one thing you can't do in a cage.
Yeah, exactly. I know. I mean, it's just... I don't know. It's just... That's the WWE side of my brain coming out again.
Go and watch WrestleWar 92 tonight. That's your homework.
That's
awesome.
Okay. But yeah, what would you... I'm not sure if it's... What would you rather see or what do you think we're going to see? Which is both of these between rings, an F10 or a big rig between rings?
Oh, well, the big rig's difficult.
Yeah.
The code breaker. Oh, Christ, Jericho and FTR both have a version of the code breaker. Yeah. They're going to go 1-2 punch on that. Oh, this match is going to be incredible. This match is going to be absolutely incredible. I just realized that they're going to one-up each other doing that. Oh, that's awesome. Oh, I hadn't thought about the F10 across the ring. That's, again, I've got my own version of how this is going to be in my head. You've got your own version of how this is going to be in your head. Everyone who likes AEW will have this version of it in their own head. There's going to be more than enough time to do an hour plus match here.
Absolutely. But the one thing I think we both agree on is the conclusion. Who wins, and I suppose how who gets pinned, and how does it play out for you?
All submission, all surrender. No pinfalls. It's just the tap out or the surrender. Like, proper old school, that's how it's going to be. Happily, and not remotely by accident, a good wrestling company will encourage all its talents. Look, have a submission finisher and a power finisher if you can. Happily, MJF has established his Fujiwara armbar So that'll add tension to the last minutes if, in fact, he secures the win. Chris Jericho's obviously got the walls. So the two key players in this match have an established weapon that can win a match. Honestly, I honestly probably would have put MJF in a singles match somewhere over the past 2 months just to reestablish that Fujiwara armbar because, I mean, speaking honestly, it's not as iconic or as, like, you don't get that, oh, here come the walls bit when he does the Fujiwara. So you really could have, again, too many people for that purpose. Like, if they had to put him on TV and really got over the Fujiwara, particularly since, I would probably do that in the go-home angle, actually.
Yeah, that might work.
That's what I would do because the thing about MJF is that I think it's great in the ring. You know, I think he should wrestle more. But at the same time, it's not just selfish. Oh, he should wrestle more. I'd rather see him than certain people who've been booked on Dynamite, shall we say. But at the same time, like, his stuff needs to be remembered and it needs to... Like, wrestling fans are thick, man. They're thick vermin, so they might not remember. So I would do the Fujiwara on the go-home. But what I'm getting at is I think one of those two moves will settle it. And perhaps one of the reasons, right, why it's getting quote-unquote rushed is because if it was like at the end of a long saga, the way that AEW, correctly, I might add, tells stories is because they just want to make people feel happy with their escapism of choice, and their escapism of choice is AEW. So they give them these things called happy endings, and this feeling that's just been lost for 20 years. It's called joy. It's called happiness. If they'd done this months-long saga, and MJF went over in the end, and the Pinnacle went over in the end, if it took months to reach a point of, ah, it's a bit sad, it's just not how pro wrestling is booked, and they've just formed the Pinnacle, maybe they've done it this early, because they're clever, and they realise that I'll be a bit of a bummer after months of all this heat that the babyfaces don't win. So I think they're doing it quickly. Again, they are not the dumbass wrestling company, because the Pinnacle are going over. Who can MJF tap out? If Guevara's in it, right, for the entire duration, we're talking a potential hour-long match, which I believe will be the longest in AEW history. In fact, it would be the longest, I think, is the Omega Moxley from Full Gear. If they go the full hour, Sammy Guevara selling, bleeding, right? Just completely drained of his tank in this electrifying, like, made moment. And Guevara makes him pass out in the end. And MJF makes him pass out in the end. It's like, and MJF, say, I beat him. And it's like, oh, you would, it didn't feel like a loss at all. That's how they're going to have to book this in my head. And MJF can just, yeah, beat him. Quite easy, actually. I did one move. And if they, maybe they could, I only was in there for 5 minutes, but really Guevara's been in there for the hour. That's how I would book this.
Yeah.
That's how I would book this. And down the line, because you've got, and this is why AEW is so great, because you haven't gone an hour with MJF and Guevara, you've done a match that lasted an hour that had MJF and Guevara in it. How much more would the fans of Sammy Guevara want to see Guevara get his hands on MJF after MJF cruelly taunts him with his victory, which never feels like one because he's got an hour soaked in blood and just had to give up. And that's how you build a singles match that's been brimming between them two. That's even before you do the MJF versus Chris Jericho second singles. It's the best company. It's the best company.
Yeah, you've sort of partially answered my final question for you, which is what is next for the Inner Circle and the Pinnacle following on from this? But yeah, I feel like, you know, it's a definitive point in the feud between the two factions, but certainly not an end, perhaps, to the interactions between the members in it.
Yeah, I would say so, certainly. I mean, I personally would really like to see an MJF Sammy Guevara match that gives them like a good amount of time to work singles on pay-per-view, because I'm not going to mention the person we always mention, but there's someone who's been gobbling up that time on pay-per-view who needs to make way for the likes of an MJF and Guevara to do proper singles business. But yeah, I know what happens with the Pinnacle. They win. They go on to become a main event level concern. I just cannot determine in my head yet what they do with the inner circle after this, but we'll see. They will have a goddamn plan.
And it's going to be intriguing as well with after Blood and Guts, it's what, 2.5, 3.5 weeks till Double or Nothing. So it's a fast old turnaround. But as you always say, have faith, trust the process. This is the company that we like and have been given reason to trust as well. But I'm never someone who wishes his life away. But I already can't wait for a week and a bit's time for this. Absolutely buzzing, but we've still got the parlay to look forward to on Dynamite next week. And let us know your thoughts on Twitter ahead of Blood and Guts and the lead in for that at What Culture WWE. Watch, they can follow both of us. You can follow Michael Sidgwick at
Sidgwick.
You can follow me at Adam Wilborn. Follow us all at What Culture WWE. As I said, make sure you subscribe to What Culture Wrestling wherever you get your podcasts from for daily wrestling podcasts, including, of course, our preview and review of Dynamite next week. But for now, this has been Get the Table. My thanks to Michael Sidgwick. Thank you for joining us, and we will see you soon.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.